All right, this is Sunday morning, 8, what is it? 15. Well, this is this was last week, and I have 15 and 16, so. All right, 8, 15, 21. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural Church Order, Part 16. And we were looking at 5 crucial questions about apostolic ministry. So we read the first 2 last week, right? First 2. So I'm going to go ahead and do the foundational scriptures, then we'll get into the other 3. The Lord's having me lay a foundation concerning the proper order of the church. He knows why He wants this done. Probably because we've all been brought up in churches that were out of order. So, all right, I will begin with Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The first thing the Lord spoke to me about was that the church had not had its proper foundation, and because of that, the gates of hell had been able to prevail. The storm came and down the church went. They were not able to stand against the devil, keep the devil out. And, you know, if you can't even keep the devil out, how are you going to go and do what the Lord's told you to do? All right. The first thing the Lord said to me about that also was that they had overlooked the 5 ministry gifts, and especially the 2 that were the most important as far as laying church foundation, apostles and prophets. They're totally, even today, they're a little bit still scrutinized, especially apostle. And I know there was a time even prophet, he just didn't say it. In fact, I made the mistake of telling someone that one time, and they treated me like, yeah, right. I mean, when somebody supports your ministry and they call you and they know you're a prophet or whatever, and they ask if you know any prophets that they could follow, there's something wrong. You know, it's like, well, I'm pastor so-and-so, okay. I'm teacher so-and-so, yeah. I'm evangelist so-and-so, yeah. I'm prophet so-and-so, okay. I'm apostle this, yeah. That's the way they act. In fact, I used to kind of feel the same way. You know, because that's just the way we've been brought up. Well, the Lord's not happy with that. All right, well, there's a good foundation. It can withstand the storm. All right, flip over to Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You know, we took that the wrong way. Thought, well, that meant the first pope was Peter. And we know, you know, about that. I won't go into about the Catholic Church today, because not all Catholics, a lot of Catholics love the Lord. Some Catholics are born again. You know, so, but there's a reason Jesus had 12 apostles when he left. They were to lay the foundation, lay doctrine down. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Did I get that? Okay. We see today, especially the prophetic that I just shared with you, that the church as a whole had no foundation. Instead of weathering the storm, they succumbed to Satan and his kingdom. The gates of hell prevailed against the church. When you got masons in the basement having meetings, there's something wrong. When you have pastors that after church service, they go down in the basement of the church and they wife swap, there's something wrong. Yeah. Really, they confiscated. You know, I remember when I first started doing the dives about things that were really going on in the world. They talked about all the pastors that they had, I don't know if they paid them off or what they did, but they were to work with the FEMA camps, the FEMA coordinators, whenever the deep state got ready to round us all up, and they were supposed to lead their congregations into these FEMA camps like lambs to a slaughter. There was a whole list of them. I didn't recognize any of the churches on it. That was one of the first eye-openers for me, and I thought, oh my God, no wonder I can't stand these places. See, there's no apostle or prophet, no accountability, and so the pastors are compromised. Still going on. Still going on, but the Lord's bringing it down, thank God. Okay. We cannot do anything on our own. We need God's plan for it, period. Okay, Ephesians 2. Now therefore, you're no more strangers. Verse 19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I'd be willing to say, and I'm going to say it anyway, I think they're probably going to be the ones that Jesus said, they'll say, well, didn't we prophesy in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And the Lord said, I never knew you because you didn't do it my way. It was not in order, and your foundation was on something else other than the foundation I laid down for you. Just a thought. This is how the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, succeeds and keeps the devil out and fulfills their commission. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measures of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, they come in some other way. That's what the hireling does. John 10. They don't care about the sheep. They care about the money. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk no more as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, That's not God's way. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have seen, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which is after God and created righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for he members one of another. See, this is a unified body of Christ. Because the foundation is right, the house is going to be right. All right, no more fighting. Now, some of the worst things that I've ever seen have been church fights, I'm telling you. We've seen churches fighting. First one we ever went through, Danny's dad was the trustee there at the church, and it was a horrible mess. It tore up a whole big church of young people that never got over that. And to this day, they're out of church. They don't hardly go anywhere. It's just because they saw this kind of stuff that shouldn't have been. We've been through a few of those, and that's why we got to where we were out for so long. We didn't want to go. It was because of the system. Well, we were feeling guilty because we didn't go, but really, God was leading us. He's letting us know something's wrong. Something's not right here. See, we've been so gauged by our conscience to gauge everything by our conscience and our feelings and our emotions. And God's trying to tell us something. Don't go there, but our guilty conscience will make us go there. And it causes us to disobey God and get ourselves into trouble. And then we're hollering at the Lord, what did we do wrong? Lord, how come I'm here? What happened? Well, you didn't listen to me. That's what happened. All right. Just a little bit more here. Don't go to church. They love God. They just don't want to go to church because of the mess and how they feel and how they've been torn and how they've been felt. Every church I ever went to pretty well squelched what God had called me to do. I don't know if it's because it intimidated them. I don't know. And of course, you know, it was only men that could be anointed, not women. So, you know, whatever the cause, whatever the reason, God makes a way if we listen to him. See, we got to follow him. All right. I always knew there was something more. Was always hungry for something more and thinking, Lord. Yeah. Okay, we're supposed to be children, no more tossed to and fro. You know why I don't go to your church? Because it sucks. I hate your church. They make you feel like the bastard of the Fenner reunion. I'm telling you. That must be Frank's speech, no pun intended. But you know what? As the unified body of Christ, we ought to feel as at home with a stranger, with a strange group. We ought to feel just as at home with them. If we're all one body, we're part of the body, we ought to feel at home when we go, not feel like, not having somebody come at your door wanting you to sign a card because you came to church so they can start getting your tithe. Oh, Lord in heaven. Spend more time bringing the offering message than you ever do teaching anything that's going to do anybody any good. Get on your program on TV and every 2 or 3 minutes we are stopping for a raise money break. Am I telling the truth? They're no different than the world. What do you think those stupid commercials are? That sport you're watching, those are sponsors. You get to watch a minute or two of sport, here comes 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 commercials to try to get money out of you. See how the system works? It's completely infiltrated the church because we didn't have a foundation. The gates of hell prevailed. Well, God's cleaning house. He's cleaning house. All right, Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I'm going to read over here. I believe it's in Matthew. I'm quickened to do that. 24. There might be somebody that hears this, needs this. So what I was talking about, maybe you can help me out. Oh, here it is. This is Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That tells you right there, it ain't the saints coming on horses, it's angels coming with him. They're going to be changed. In fact, there's a first bunch that's resurrected that were martyred during the time of the beast. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. These big mega churches that have these big supporters and all this money and all this wealth. Did they take the wealth and help the people? Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Lord is not going to turn a blind eye or deaf ear to what has been going on. All right, unity, where we go one, we go all. We are one band, one sound, and we are a force to be reckoned with, an army of Joshua's and Caleb's. A church that is walking the way it's supposed to takes care of people. This is Acts 4. Last church I went to, called me on the phone begging for money for their women's meeting. You know, just those kind of things. Like, it rankled me. Every time we go to church, they are hitting them up for, All right, you got to bring your canned goods for the storehouse, and then you got to bring all your backpacks and school supplies. Now all the kids are going to school. It was just bam, beat, 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 24/7. Driving the sheep. I'm telling you, to me, your giving ought to be between you and God. Oh, we can't pay the electric bill if you don't give this month. Well, maybe you ought to shut the doors. Oh, somebody's going to love this. I don't know. Maybe it'll slap them in the face. Maybe it'll say, you know what? That's the truth. All right, let me see if I can find it here. Chapter 4. This is after Peter and John had prayed for the man at the gate. They had been thrown in jail. Right here, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither had any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You read? The apostles! Hey! They had apostles! Neither were there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, over here, chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom they may appoint over this business. So the apostles appointed anointed men to go and make sure the widows and the orphans were taken care of. Okay. All right. The Lord wants the church in order so that what needs to be done will get done. All right. Today's topic, 5 crucial questions about apostolic ministry from the book Churchquake by C. Peter Wagner. The Lord wants to get this established in us so we will never settle for anything else but proper church order. We won't ever be duped again by hirelings. Sorry, if you fit, the shoe fits, wear it. If you're out of order, you're not following the Lord and you're not doing it His way. Whether it's in ignorance or not. Because those people that I just read in Matthew 24, when did we not do that for you? Well, you didn't do it for the least of these. So if you didn't do it for the least of these, you didn't do it for me. Right? Yeah. All right. I've read the first 2, so we'll start with 3. How important are apostles? I think we just saw how important they are, right? All right. I expect that some for whom this idea of apostle is new will be saying, the church has gotten along fine for many generations without recognizing the office of apostle. Oh, really? I think not. Why make such a big deal of it now at this late date? That question deserves as careful an answer as possible. My hypothesis is that the Bride of Christ, the Church, has been maturing through a discernible process during the past few centuries in preparation for completing the task of the Great Commission. My starting point is the Protestant Reformation, in which the theological underpinnings were firmly established. the authority of Scripture, justification by faith, and the priesthood of all believers. The Wesleyan movement then introduced the demand for personal and corporate holiness. The Pentecostal movement later profiled the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in a variety of powerful ministries. The office of intercessor was restored in the 1970s, and the office of prophet was restored in the 1980s. The final piece came into place in the 1990s with the recognition of the gift and office of apostle. This is not to say that the church is perfect. It is to say that the infrastructure of the church, so to speak, may now be complete. The church is much more prepared to advance the kingdom with a speed and intensity that has not been possible in previous generations. All right, apostles are unique. It could be argued quite convincingly that the church has always had apostles, but that they had not been recognized as such. That's probably true. Nevertheless, true as this assertion might be, once the apostles receive the recognition they deserve, the church is prepared to move to a higher level. This is what is happening in our day. John Eckhart puts it this way: there is no substitute for the apostle. The prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher cannot do what the apostle can do. Neither can the apostle do what the other gifts can do. Each gift is needed and has a unique purpose. They are not optional. God gave them to us because we need them all. Predictably, recognizing apostles and thereby bringing the church to a new level will stir up opposition in the invisible world. Yeah, the devil, because that's the last thing he wants. He's had his heyday in the church. I like what David Catastrophe says, how the enemy dreads the apostle, how he fears the full restoration of this ministry. A New Testament apostolic function fully deployed within the church today would significantly impact the dominion of darkness. Satan knows this, and I'm sure all of hell shudders at the prospect of a revitalization of apostles and apostolic people. I agree 100%. Apostolic rocket boosters. This is all to say that apostles are extremely important for the answer to our prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Bill Hammond says, when the apostles are restored in their fullness, it will activate many things. It will cause many prophecies concerning the end times to start coming to pass at an accelerated rate. The apostle is the last of the fivefold ministries to be restored. It is like a great machine that needs five things to happen in sequence before it will finally work. It could be compared to a space rocket booster that must have five switches turned on before it can launch the space shuttle, the church. Each switch or button represents one of the fivefold ministries. Remember when I talked about the body in the Tommy Hicks vision? Brother Hagin had a similar vision of people finally getting fired up as the church and rising up and taking the gospel. Keep in mind that the premise on which the importance of apostolic ministry is predicted is the completion of the Great Commission. John Kelly agrees, we live in a critical hour. There needs to be a demonstration in this generation of the ministry of the apostle with miraculous prophetic power and world-changing productivity. When the apostles begin to rise by the thousands, we'll be able to take the nation for Jesus Christ. The harvest cannot be brought in apart from this foundational office. If Kelly is right, the apostolic office is so important that it can mean the difference between heaven and hell for multitudes. I agree. That's why I copied this off. Okay, I'm just going to read that one. We'll read the others next week because I want to read something else to you. You can go ahead and cut that off.